Well, let's turn now in our Bibles to John's Gospel to hear our scripture reading this evening, John's Gospel chapter 12. And we'll be reading the second part, or the second half of that chapter, having I've been reading through the Gospel of John for a while now. John chapter 12, we'll start in verse 20 and we'll go through verse 50. And these are the words of God. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd then answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. Though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." And those are the words of God. Now, we have been going as a congregation through John, we come to this passage, and the passage has a lot in it. But you remember just a few ways we'll think of this passage. You remember a few Lord's days ago, or for the last few Lord's days, if you remember, especially the scribes and the Pharisees, they were trying to bring dishonor to Jesus Christ. But we've been seeing now the following the healing of the blind man and then the raising up of Lazarus from the dead, which no one, not even Moses, could do or did. That we now see many instances in our passage of Christ being honored on this week leading up to his crucifixion. So first we see the Greeks were honoring him by seeking him. They have that great statement that should be the desire of all of our lives. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. That should be our desire every moment of every day, that we would see Jesus. And in John 17, he'll get more into that, that one day we will see him for who he truly is. Now, Christ accepts this honor paid to him, showing both the honor that Christ receives from being followed as well as the honor that ought to be to those who follow him. And so here, encouragement for us to seek after Christ and follow after him. And that in that, he will be honored and glorified by it. And then we read verse 27 and following of God the Father honoring Christ by bearing testimony concerning him as he spoke from heaven. And it should remind you, as we heard in Exodus just not too long ago, of Mount Sinai and the thundering down. That's the Lord speaking. And here the Father speaking, and it sounded like thunder. And then verses 37 through 41 show how the Old Testament prophets honored Christ as they prophesied about him, and which Christ fulfills here. And then we see some of the Jewish rulers even honored him, though they had no courage or little courage to own it publicly before the Pharisees and chief priests, we could say. They didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. That's the language of being excommunicated. They didn't want to be excommunicated. And so they were not speaking about Christ, sadly. They loved man's approval more than God's. And then finally, Christ, to the end of the passage, claims honor and glory to himself. He does this by showing that he came to save us as a light into darkness and making the darkness disappear. Christ is the light of the world. And he has come into the world. And so we are to believe in him and believe in the Father who sent him for this purpose, to save and redeem his people from their sins. So we come worshiping the Lord now. We're called to honor him, to glorify him, to praise his name in all that we do, even as we worship him. And that starts with seeking him and following him. And this is what we are called to, and by the Holy Spirit we will do so. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that you have brought us to this this time where we can hear about the honor of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for all these ways in which he's honored. And of course, there's more, many more ways in which he is honored, even if we were to be like those Jewish rulers, but not be like them in the way that they did not want to be kicked out of the synagogue. Father, may we proclaim your name boldly before a watching world and in public. Father, that we would, even if threatened by wicked wolves in the church, maybe even elders who would dare kick and excommunicate people out of the church for proclaiming the gospel, Father, we pray that we would proclaim the gospel in spite of that threat, Father. We ask also that you would give us, in that, as we talk about that, humility and submission to our elders. And yet, Father, make us bold in proclaiming, because Christ is King and he is growing his kingdom, and we are a part of that as he uses us as instruments in this world and in the church. Father, we again pray for our children, that you would bless them and grant to them salvation in Christ alone, that they would not only just believe the facts of the gospel, they would trust those facts for their lives. And that Christ died on the cross for their sins. And we pray that that would be true, that they would be found of the elect, and they would love you and pray to you and believe in you. Father, we do ask today that you would, of course, be with us in our meeting to come this evening, that you would give Greg and John, as they help us answer questions, wisdom, and give us understanding and help us with that discernment. And Father, we do pray that you would give us as a congregation discernment and wisdom for a decision that we are soon to make. And Father, we ask that we would be able to remember all the questions that we believe we need to ask, whether easy or hard. And Father, we also pray for these men's congregations. We pray for John's congregation in Lawrence, that you would continue to allow John to be faithful to the Word of God and preaching the gospel Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and be faithful in his community as he serves. We pray that you would bring about a revival in his church, in which they would love Christ even more than they do now. Father, we ask the same for all of our churches, of course. You would continue growing us by your Holy Spirit and give us a love for the Word. Father, in this we do pray for Greg and the Shawnee Church, that you would provide first a pastor for them, and as we prayed this morning, and then also that you would give wisdom to Greg about his future coming up this summer, and whether he is returning to Oklahoma City, or just we pray that you would give guidance to him and his wife, Father. And Father, we do pray for our congregation, that you would guide us, that you would grow us in number, but also in, as we heard this morning, in sanctification. Father, bring people in, and we pray that you would use us to do so, and you would build your church, as we'll hear about in a few moments, Father. Father, we do pray that you would be adored, praised, and honored, that we would seek you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and follow you in all your ways and all your commandments, by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit who works within us. We pray that we would not grieve the Spirit, but that we would humbly submit, knowing that we are not God. We are mere men and women and children. Father, help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.